space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the starship Enterprise.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the podcast. We're joined by Mark yet again. Mark, how are you?
Doing great. Still here. Thanks, Wes.
We are going to be talking about a piece of the action. I'd like you to give you a piece of the action, Mark, and you can give me back an equally sized chunk of the action, I suppose.
I have a non sequitur. Would you like me to wait till after the clip or give it to you now?
You can do it as the lead-in. How about that?
The lead-in is that if you Google a piece of the action, you will in fact find that it is also the name of a crime comedy movie in which a police chief played by James Earl Jones captures two small-time hoods played by Sidney Poitier and Bill Cosby and forces them to work in a youth center. Otherwise, they'll be sent to jail. And they start to earn out an honest living until they're brought back for one last job. So I don't know if the job is the piece of the action or if it is Bill Cosby interacting with the youth at the youth center is a piece of the action. But there is some action going on in that.
There's a lot of action going on in piece of the action. There's a lot of heaters, a lot of references to heaters, and a lot of nice fitting suits, I suppose, would be the other thing. But yeah, it's a comedy episode. It is called A Piece of the Action, Episode 17 of Season 2, directed by James Komack. Story credit goes to David P. Harmon, and the teleplay goes to David Harmon and Gene L. Kuhn, aired back on January 12th, 1968. In this comedic episode, the Enterprise visits a planet with an Earth-like 1920s gangster culture with Runyon-esque dialogue and costumes. I don't know what Runyon-esque means, but it was on the Wikipedia page, so it must be true.
It's apparently Roland 20 slang. Apparently. One author's name was Runyon, and he like wrote books that way.
Gotcha.
I followed the Wikipedia link that you just referenced.
Guys, we're going to play an audio clip, and me and Mark are going to come back and break down a piece of the action.
What's this?
That's a weapon. Be careful of that.
A heater, huh? Hey, the boss will love that.
Now, look, we were asked to come down here by Mr. Oxmix. He said...
I know what he said, bud. He said some of the boys would meet you. Okay, we're meeting you.
Well, those firearms are not necessary.
You trying to make trouble?
Who, me?
Don't give me those baby blue eyes.
What?
I don't go for that innocent routine.
Sir, does everyone here carry... firearms?
I never heard such stupid questions in my life.
Well, since this Oxmus asked us down here, don't you think we should see him?
All right. Get moving. Down the street.
All right. Here we are. Piece of the action. Runyon-esque dialogue.
I want all of the action, by the way, not just a piece of it. Is that possible?
You can only get a piece unless you're packing a heater that's powerful enough to... It sounds like we're making fun of the episode, but I actually really like Piece of the Action. You had hinted you didn't like it, so maybe it'll be a part of a piece of disagreement between us about how much action there is in this episode.
You know what this episode reminded me of? Did you ever watch the old like Gilligan's Island reruns?
Yep.
when you were growing up? So they would always like all of a sudden have this weird, not flashback, but reimagining, and the characters would be in like Victorian England, or they'd be in a completely different setting. I don't know if there's a literary term for when you take characters and you put them into an unfamiliar setting just for fun.
Yeah.
But that's what it sort of reminded me of, probably because of the 60s aesthetic to it. It was just like, well, let's put the guys in the roaring 20s and give everyone a Tommy gun. Literally everyone a Tommy gun, as many Tommy guns as possible.
You know what? The episode might actually, the worst thing it does for me is that it shows me that the Royale on TNG was not such an original idea.
So anyone keeping track at home, that was probably about 6 minutes in until Wes mentioned the Royale, which I knew was coming up.
The Royale, I think, does this storyline a little bit better than what this one does, but it's kind of the same idea, right? It's like you go to a planet where a sort of the reasons for the differences are different, obviously, but there's like you're in a fantasy world where it's sort of based on a book that someone has left behind, and a culture has built itself around this book. In this case, instead of a terrible, like, trashy romance novel like it was in the Royale, they left back a history book of, like, a guide to the Roaring Twenties or something.
Published
like that.
In 1992, which was a great year, if you remember, which would have been about 25 years after this originally aired.
Yeah, it would have been the year Undiscovered Country, I think, would have been popping up. But yeah, so they based the Enterprise. The story beat is basically the Enterprise goes to a planet wherein the ship crashed 100 years ago or something. And they get called down. They're like, come down and visit us. And they go down. And apparently the ship that got there before the Enterprise had left a book, a guide to the 20s gangster lifestyle. And this alien culture, which Spock calls like supremely adaptive, has molded their society around this book. So they're all gangsters.
I would have left a copy of like the Kama Sutra. Or I know. Left a completely different book.
Why that book? Why? And it's a no huge idea. Book too. It's like the biggest book I've ever seen.
It's because the writers wanted to like make a gangster episode.
Yeah.
But I mean, I guess one place that I think is worth delving into, and you had mentioned the Royale. So there are two ways to get into this sort of construct, which is to like narratively write it in, like you found an alien life form that does this sort of thing, or you use the TNG approach, which is, oh, they're on the holodeck. So do you like it better that they just find an alien planet that for some reason resembles Earth's history, or do you like it better that the characters are going to like a holodeck and recreating it for their own pleasures and fantasies?
It's better not on the holodeck. Right, like it's better that the planet is its own kind of thing. This is what would become a holodeck episode, right? Like this idea would just turn into the holodeck, and it seems.
I was thinking if they had done it on TNG, it would have been a holodeck episode. But then I'm like, no, they actually did Royale, which was essentially a similar construct. In TNG, as this episode was.
I think it's always better to go to a planet that does it because it makes the stakes real, and they kind of elevate the stakes a little bit by when they first beam down, the guy just gets like lit up in a drive-by. So there is like a sense of people are dying.
Is that like the only time they fire the Tommy guns, despite the fact that in every scene they have Tommy guns?
I think so. I mean, would you agree that this episode depends kind of on if you think it's funny or not, right?
Yeah, and maybe that's where we differed. I wasn't on board for what they were going for. It was just very convoluted. It was like, all right, they went down, they talked to a mob boss. Mob boss wants their heaters, keeps them prisoner. Then they break loose. The other mob boss takes them prisoner. They want their heaters.
Yeah.
And then they play two mob bosses against each other. 45 minutes pass, and then it's the end of the episode.
Well, Shatner, they get the chance to dress up like them is the third beat in that trifecta.
Yeah, yeah. And Shatner just becomes a mobster, and that's probably the best part of the show is when he's just chewing scenery ridiculously.
I was thinking while I was watching it, I've been watching all the episodes. If people are done listening to the podcast, you can go to the PenskePodcast.com, and you can go to the TOS write-ups, where I'm doing like short little write-ups about every episode, because I'm watching all the episodes, but we're not podcasting about them, and I do little write-ups about it. I think the difference might be... I think this one might be less well-received if you haven't watched all of the previous episodes. To me, this episode feels like a real cleanse and like really something different that they're doing. And I think that it's lighthearted enough and sort of unique enough that I really enjoyed it. Having to not watch yet another TOS episode, in the sense that I've been watching so many of them in a row. This one really stuck out as like something fresh and something different to me. I agree that I think the plot is terrible in this one. It really hinges a lot on the TOS idea that they can't beam people up unless they have their communicators on them. Like, 'cause they don't just rescue Kirk in this, right? They can't just beam him back to the ship. So a lot of it clings to that idea, which doesn't make a lot of sense, because at the end of the episode, they beam up people when Kirk just tells them about it, right? He's like, there's a guy 12 feet in front of me. Don't beam him up. And they beam him up, obviously.
Beam him up onto the bridge.
Right.
You can like talk to everyone for a minute.
Yeah. So I think that the plot kind of is silly, and they say heaters a million times, and like it's really just going back and forth. Maybe one of the good scenes is the fizzbang?
The fizzbang is clearly the highlight of the entire episode.
I feel like I didn't even realize that was a Star Trek invention, because I feel like I know the term fizzbang is like a sort of nonsensical game. Maybe they say it in TNG or something like that at some point.
I actually did look at the Wikipedia. I think it comes back in like either, I want to say it's Deep Space Nine. Quark mentions it with like Odo out of context or something, that he played a game of it.
Yep.
But I don't think it's a major plot point. And again, I'm not a Star Trek expert, just what the Wikipedia article said about it. But that was the highlight for me when Kirk's just completely, he's like, well, on Tuesday, you know, deuces are wild, but on right. on Thursday, you need to flip a card upside down and light it on fire. And then there's one point where he literally changes the rules mid-game, which I thought was a nice touch. He's like, if you get two jacks, that's good. If you get three jacks, that's bad. The guy draws a jack and he's like, oh no, that's good. Wait, that is good. Did I say that was bad? Three jacks are great.
It was, being as someone who's like into modern board games, I actually felt like the rules weren't all that complicated. it's a pretty simple game. I understand this game.
I got this completely.
This is, I can easily understand what's going on. Yeah, I like the sort of breakdown of what they do. I don't think Shatner's particularly good at doing the 20s actor, which I think is kind of a problem towards the end of it.
He looks like he's having a good time.
He looks
though.
Like he's having a very good time. I will say that. He's there. I think another kind of weakness is that Spock and McCoy don't really have a lot going on here. They're just kind of in the episode.
And we've discussed that. I don't know that my mind is built for these old school TOS episodes, but sometimes I feel like I just miss things. Like I'll be watching it, then I'll be like, "What? How the hell did that happen?" And all of a sudden, McCoy is with them, and then McCoy just wasn't with them for like half the episode.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I'm like, "Did he go somewhere? Did I miss like a 3 second line of throwaway dialogue where it's like, you know, I'm going back to the infirmary here to check on some people."
Yeah.
But like, why wasn't McCoy running around with them in their rolling 20s garb, you know, with the Tommy gun?
Well, I mean, I guess they only had the two. They could have taken the mob bosses ones, right? But he's hanging out with the Tommy gun, guarding the other people, I suppose, back there. And a similar beat is when Spock and McCoy go back to the ship for a bit, and then they beam back down only to be captured again.
That was my favorite part. He's like, you know, McCoy's like, you know, they probably played a joke on us. And Spock's like, well, logically, I agree, but we have no choice. And then they beat down, and they immediately get captured.
Yeah, it was.
It's like, why didn't you send down 800 red shirts with a whole bunch of heaters to just storm this one city? Also, is this a planet, or was it literally like one city? Or is that like a Star Trek issue that they frequently just say the planet is just the one city where they happen to be?
Yeah, the planets have like a monoculture, and I think it's the entire planet, but they. It obviously just looks to be one city.
So the entire planet is run by two mob bosses who live like a mile away from each other.
I guess three. They drop in that third one out of nowhere towards the end.
There was like Jacko and Oxymias or Ozymandias. What's his name?
He had like that weird Mr. Oxmix Superman character.
Mr. Mixpix.
Whatever that guy, like you can't pronounce his name. His name was like Oxymus or something like that.
Yeah, I know.
And the other guy, but. Yeah, it's just kind of, it sounds like it's more, I mean, we're obviously making fun of it, but it's sort of intentionally supposed to be silly like that, right? Like, that's why I don't really hold the Spock and McCoy plot line against them, because they just have to go back down there and it's going to be a silly thing like that. And I feel like the episode accomplishes what it's trying to set out to do. Would you agree with that, or would you disagree?
I can agree and say yes. It comes off as, you know, kind of a lighthearted sort of rave up of the Roaring Twenties culture and mobster movies, and still say that it wasn't a particularly entertaining episode.
Right. Yeah.
You know, it was. I see where you're coming from. That, you know, it probably, if you were watching them in all in order, it would have had a freshness that a lot of other episodes would not have had. But if you just pick this one out, if you were just going to kind of like just catching this one episode on TV, You'd be like, I don't know if this is what I want to see as my Star Trek experience.
Yes, right. So if you're watching it like as a week-to-week show,
yeah,
you'd think it would be a little bit less.
I mean, as a week-to-week, if you were like really paying attention to it, it'd probably be okay if you were just catching one random episode. This would not be an episode that you would want to show someone to show them what the show was really like. I mean, I guess on the one hand it is because they go down and they meet an alien culture that – you know, has this set in ingrained series of beliefs, which is kind of what happens on Star Trek episodes. But on the other hand, it's not particularly sci-fi. It's the writers just being like, oh, wouldn't it be fun if we just kind of, had a story about mobsters?
It's more of a time travel than a meeting an alien planet type thing, except they can go back to the ship whenever they want to.
But it does seem very familiar to what the ground that the Royale would tread. The Royale seems to be an homage to this in a lot of ways.
Yeah, which is a little bit disappointing, I suppose. But
did you know when you watched the Royale originally that there was a kind of mobster TOS episode?
Didn't know. I think this is maybe if it's not the first time, it might be the first time I've ever seen this episode because I didn't remember anything about it. I knew that the story was that they go back and they meet like a planet full of mobsters, but I didn't realize it was. Really, because a previous culture had left them a book, and like they sort of read the book and were like, okay, we'll model ourselves after this.
I did like how the prime mobster just like grabbed the radio. He's like, yeah, you want to come down here, Kirk? Yeah, we got some stuff going on down here. It'd be really good. We'll meet you at the corner of 4th and Main.
And they do a lot of street stuff, and they also give very precise times that they're beaming down. He's like, give me 3 minutes. I'll be down in 3 minutes.
Be down in 3 minutes. I'll be right next to that orphan who also has a Tommy gun and coincidentally also wants a piece of the action. was there a point where there's like a little orphan that's like, I want a piece of the action too?
Yeah, he's the one that distracts the guys on the door. A lot of fight scenes with Kirk's patented. He shakes the fuck out of someone and then just punches them in the face and they go out. That's his move. But yeah,
does that move not really work in real life? I can't just grab someone by the shoulder, shake them aggressively, and then while they're stunned, just punch them.
He also has the great scene where he escapes from like his jail cell, where he beats up the first guy, calls in the second guy, who he like lassos with the guy's sweater, and he wraps it around his head and then. Punches him in the gut. It's like poorly done. It doesn't really look like it's like they got it nailed it on that take, but that's the one that they stuck with.
Did they do a smash cut to that one all of a sudden?
I know, out of an Andorian shows up and they fight each other.
I am gaining a new level of respect for Kirk's fighting ability. He does everything. He does parkour. He like strangles guys out with belts or sweaters. he like throws elbows. He like sweeps the leg like the Karate Kid.
Yep.
You know, he's really got a wide variety of stuff. It's like Krav Maga defense fighter Kirk.
He's an excellent, excellent fighter. Yeah, I mean, I found this... I enjoyed watching it, even as I realized I was like, this isn't particularly great, but I'm very much enjoying what this one is bringing to me.
Can I ask a question? Because to me, this just felt like a fun episode.
Yeah.
It felt like it lacked a deeper meaning, which and again, we've only done a handful of TOS episodes together, but a lot of the ones that I've listened to you cover on the podcast seem to have some sort of point.
Yeah.
Was there a meaning that I missed in this episode? And two, is it what was more common for the series? Were they frequently trying to like make an allegory about society, or did they have more of these just kind of like, well, this is a like Lost in Space, we're just going to meet an alien race and kind of see what happens thing?
This is definitely the exception to it. Most of them are much more like, this is what we're trying to, the point we're trying to make, and this is like how it relates to real life. This is much more of a distraction episode, which is maybe why. It's probably why I enjoyed it as much as I do.
Why did you pick it?
It was recommended. People say it was like one of the top vote getters.
Oh, okay.
People
like
this episode.
There wasn't like a specific reason or historically why this episode transcends. This is just one that people kind of felt.
Yeah,
it's just like a fun romp.
Yeah, the audience wanted to hear thoughts on Piece of the Action. Some people consider it like one of their favorites from the series.
I wonder why it would be someone's favorite. I understand why you could kind of enjoy it mildly because it's
if you know all the entire series already.
Yeah, I mean, because of all the scenery that Shatner is chewing, especially when he's, you know, got his, like, his fedora on and he's just going around fisticuffing everyone. But it doesn't strike me as being, like, one of the classics.
You know why this episode is great? Because they tied the fact that you can shorten Federation to the Feds. And I think that is, like, one of the greatest. That is one of the greatest.
The Feds are coming down on us. They're going to steal all of our heaters.
The mobsters are complaining about the Feds, and he works for the Federation, which he can abbreviate to the Feds, which I thought was fantastic. That was, like, a brilliant stroke of genius, I think. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess maybe you're an outlier in what people expect from it and everything like that. And
maybe
you
haven't I'm not a true fan. I don't know. I don't want to offend the listening audience.
No, but maybe you just haven't seen enough of TOS to maybe understand why people would like it. Like, a lot of TOS episodes are fairly kind of middling, and like, I'd rather have an episode like this that isn't really about anything, that tries something new and has a little fun with it, as opposed to another just to like a 3 TOS episode in a lot of ways. Like, in some ways, the 3s of TOS are worse than the 3s of TNG because they're very formulaic in what they come up with. The 1s are like terrible and you're like, wow, I can't believe they tried to do that. That's a bad idea for a show. Where the 3s in TOS are really the ones that are like, wow, it's hard to stay focused on what's going on here. There's nothing wrong with the episode, but it's really just sort of plugging along at its own pace, its own 50-minute 1965 pace.
And I mean, I think that's partially my problem, and we've touched on this before, but I'm kind of looking at this as more of a child of the TNG lens. So I may be holding TOS to a higher standard than I should, because I mean, I've seen occasional episodes here and there, but the one that I watched repeatedly was City on the Edge of Forever, and obviously watched TNG over and over. So, you know, once you see the heights that something can reach, you know, you're not as forgiving to the lows that it may commonly go to. And I feel like, you know, outside of season 1 and 2 of TNG, it was generally a decently written show. Mm-hmm. Whereas some of the TOS episodes, just they have pacing issues. We were discussing that the extra 5 or 6 minutes just feel like an eternity to me.
Yeah.
Like the 50-minute hour versus the 43-minute hour with commercials. It feels like it takes so much longer to me. And because of that, this episode in particular, it's like I couldn't focus. They were just like, they're going to see one mob boss. Now they're going to see the other mob boss. Now they got captured. Now they got captured by this guy. It's like the writing wasn't tight. It wasn't held to a modern standard that I would want it to be held to.
Yeah.
And you see that and you're like, oh, this concept could have been executed much better. Like the idea was good. The execution wasn't perfect.
So what's a kind of solution to fix this episode? How would you...
Well, either shorter or have something else happen.
Yeah.
That was my main problem. It was just like the characters weren't distinct enough. We had like 2, possibly a 3rd unseen mob boss that were fairly bland.
Yeah.
And then they just sort of were bouncing back and forth between their offices being captured.
Yes.
Like it didn't have a fluid plot line. The character's decision didn't feel earned to me. It felt like a vehicle to put Kirk and Spock into 20s gear, have them occasionally punch someone and talk in slang.
Yeah.
Rather than a well-plotted episode. And they could have done it better. They probably could have written it in a really fun way.
Yeah. I can't disagree with that. I think that I think I'd be really bored if I watched this one again, kind of. Like, I think that's kind of a difference of it, where I needed that sort of freshness off the bat to keep me interested. But I
did fall asleep at the last 5 minutes. I must argue I did just go back and rewatch that, because I literally fell asleep on my couch last night trying to make it through this one.
I do think it's a shame, like the characters, as you said, the mob families are basically look the same. They both want the heaters that they have. There's no distinction between them. I mean, so I guess we should break down, maybe we'll do like a little bit of a philosophical discussion. At the end, they say that they are going to actually go back and take the cut that this alien race is going to give them, the 40% cut, and they're going to put it into a sundry fund, basically, and use it to re-guide their civilization to a more ethical way of being. Is that the best outcome for this
So they
society?
Shitting on the Prime Directive well, in this one? Did they mention the Prime Directive?
Yeah, they said it doesn't matter because the first ship had already made contact with
and it. When did the Prime Directive get introduced? Was it like season one?
Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, they're like, well, before the Prime Directive, someone screwed up. And they left this mobster book there. Do you think that at that point, what's worse, trying to go back and fix it? Or just adhering to the Prime Directive now and say, well, we screwed up. Let's let their society evolve however it will now that we've already interfered. What's worse?
I think that they – I think that the Federation's obligation is to go back and try to make it so that they're not constantly killing each other.
Take the book away?
which Kirk kind of does, but it also leaves it on that weird
spot. All they had to do was steal the book off that guy's bookshelf the entire time and it would have fixed everything.
I mean, it's kind of
like replaced with the joy of cooking and then you'd have a whole like society of chefs.
just the Kama Sutra, as you said. Yes. It's the, I mean, they ended in kind of a weird spot too where McCoy's like, I left my communicator down there. And they're like, oh my God, they're going to break it open. And in 50 years, they're going to want a piece of our action. And it just cuts to the credits. And it's like, What are they gonna do?
I'm definitely gonna tell my wife tonight that I want a piece of the action. By the way, sorry, put that out there. Jess, I love you.
Give me that heater.
Yeah, give me the heater.
Yeah, it's a piece of. I thought it was. I mean, it's supposed to be a funny ending, but it's kind of like a. What the hell does that even mean? Like,
well, do you think McCoy should have gone back, or they should have gone back and taken away the communicator? Do you think they just essentially repeated what the. What was the Holliston? The Hollister?
Is it like that
bro fashion line from 2002?
The A&E Eagle or whatever.
Yeah, the American Eagle. The Gap. The SS Gap dropped off a book there. No.
Fresh shipment of pants. Do you think, well, I mean, yeah, I would go back for the communicator. I think they have to. Not going back doesn't make a lot. They also just know them. They think that they're gangsters, right? They can just go down and tell them that they're the feds and they're going to take it and all that stuff.
Yeah, I don't know why they didn't do that. I think it was just like, well, you know, we got to wash our hands of this one.
Wash our hands of the whole.
Although the whole point was that the Holliston screwed up, and then they just essentially repeated the same mistake.
Yes.
That was made 100 years before.
Yes.
By not just allowing them to, you know, kind of do their thing.
Yeah. Although. The Holliston was lost, right? I think they said it was reported lost.
Yes.
So I think it.
So it's not the Holliston's fault.
No, it's
but
not.
They repeated the same mistake that the Holliston, you know, made, whether the Holliston intended to do it or not.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, I don't know. I feel like, again, there wouldn't have been an episode had they just stayed away. But it's almost like they probably should have just stayed away.
Yeah.
At that, and that's kind of my viewpoint. I know you're leaning towards more they should go back in and address it.
Well, but I think now at this point, yeah, but initially it almost, I mean, it sets it off on a kind of a weird foot anyway, where they're like, hey, the ship is here, and they're like, who's down there on the planet? Guy's like, hey, come on down here. Like, like, okay. So, and like, are the aliens humanoid? Or are they like shapeshifters or something like that?
I assume that they're humanoid. I think we've had our fair share of godlike beings.
Yeah.
So maybe these are not energy blobs or whatever. They may actually just be humans who just tend to have a predilection towards getting new technology.
Yeah, adapting to it.
It doesn't really delve into that. This is another one that, you know, all of a sudden they get that transmission and Kirk's like, you know what? We could talk to them a little bit more. Maybe study. Oh no, Bone, Spock, let's go down there. Yeah. Just the three of us.
He grabs
unarmed.
Well,
one of the critiques I read of the episode is that you never really feel like any of the characters are in danger, despite the fact that they literally have guns pointed at them like every other scene.
Yeah, they sort of
it's like played
away.
To a slapstick point, whereas. You know, those are real guns. We do see a drive-by shooting within the first 5 minutes of the episode.
Yep.
Shouldn't Kirk be more worried that someone is literally going to unload a gun in his face?
And I think the only other violence you see is the end where the enemy cars pull up and they're like shooting at the building or whatever they're doing. And then the Enterprise shoots them with a phaser. So you don't see a lot of gang violence for as much as like war-torn as the city's supposed to be. Although it also has to base itself on 1920s Chicago, right? So it has to be like a functioning city at that point with just some gang warfare going on where everyone is involved in the gang, I suppose, because everyone is armed to the teeth.
Yes.
It's an interesting...
They should have, like, warped the Gorn down there and just had him just run right tear through the city, you know, just kind of cross things. It would have been fun.
Well, guys, I think we've talked about this one. We're going to take a break. I'm going to play an audio clip. Me and Mark are going to come back and give our final thoughts about a piece of the action.
Is that right? All right. All right. All right. Now, the Federation's taken over, whether you like it or not. You people, you've been running this planet like a piecework factory. From now on, it's going to be under one roof. You're going to run it like a... like a business. And that means you're going to make a profit.
Yeah. And what's your percentage?
I'm cutting the Federation in for 40%. You got any objections?
Yeah. I hear a lot of talk, but all I see here is you and a couple of your boys. I don't see no Federation.
Listen! They got a ship. I know. I was there.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Teppo's got a point.
Right.
All we ever seen is them.
What? A couple of your boys.
I'm not going to believe my eyes.
Right. All we ever seen is
what I saw.
All right, Mark. Final thoughts for a piece of the action. If you guys are on YouTube and you're watching this, you can vote in the upper right-hand corner of the video. Click the little I button, and the poll will come up. You can vote on our 1-5 scale. Mark, what are you going to give a piece of the action? What do you think about it?
So I'm really tempted to give it a 3 after you told me that all of your fans love it so much, and I want to endear myself to your audience.
Sure.
But,
you're going to shit on their dreams?
I'm going to shit on their dreams? No.
Take a piece of this action.
Yeah, no, that'd be hot action, but steaming hot action. For me, it was more of a 2. Like, I liked, and a 2 is harsh. Usually a 2 for you is pretty much almost a 1, right? That's very little redeeming about it.
Two could have been saved, but they make a lot of bad choices. That's how I define a 2. A 2 okay. is not like a, wow, what the hell is this?
Oh, that's a perfect explanation, because the premise I thought was good.
Yeah.
I do like the idea of when they take characters and they narratively toss them into unique situations, and I like the fact that, you know, it got to play a gangster movie and have Shatner choose some scenery.
Yep.
But the plot was just kind of all over the place. It was redundant in a lot of ways. I did mention falling asleep.
Yep.
During it.
It's a kiss of death for an episode, I think.
If you fall asleep during it.
Yeah.
Have you fallen asleep during any of your watchings? On your commute into work?
I've had to abandon an episode if I feel like I'm not going to make it, which is maybe the same kind of a thing where I'm like, yeah. I'm not particularly inclined to watch it all the way through, but I've done that. But no, I haven't fallen asleep. I've learned I can't watch TOS like after evening hours. Like, I can't do it as like a nighttime thing. I have to watch it in the morning.
Maybe that's why I always watched it at like 2 a.m. when I came back from the bars, because I knew it would just put me right
to
sleep.
Yeah, just knock you out, yeah.
Well, it's the pacing. It's just they don't make TV that way anymore.
Yep.
So
I think I'm going to give it a 4. I actually really enjoy it. So it's a pretty... I think this is the biggest schism we've had on any of the TOS episodes with anybody. But I think that it's maybe not the first one I'd show somebody, but if someone has seen like, you know, City on the Edge, Balance of Terror, Doomsday Machine, if they've seen all the big ones, I feel like this is one we'd be like, well, have you seen a piece of the action? That's kind of an enjoyable one to watch. I think I'd recommend it in that situation.
Such a great title, too.
It is a good title.
And it actually kind of describes what happens in the episode.
Yeah, they say it like 5 times.
They say
times,
800. So. They should have just called it We Need the Heaters.
It should just be Heaters.
Heaters
the episode. But yeah, I'm going to give it a 4. I enjoyed it. But if you guys enjoyed the content today, like I enjoyed the piece of the action, you can go to YouTube. If you're watching it there, you can like in the comments. If you're on iTunes or listening as a podcast somewhere, rate us on the podcatcher you use to listen to the show. You can go to facebook.com/thepenskypodcast, like us there. patreon.com/thepenskypodcast. Go there. $2 a month gets you exclusive podcast content. Me and Clay just did Ex Machina and Suicide Squad in March. New stuff is coming out in April. You can check it out there. Mark, thank you very much for coming on.
Thanks for having me, Wes.
Guys, thank you very much for listening to the show. We are continuing our merry way along season 2. I think we only have one episode left, A Private Little War, and then we're done with season 2 of TOS. Thank you very much for listening. Let me know in the comments what you guys think. Anything, any suggestions you'd like to make, all that stuff. Hopefully you're enjoying our journey through TOS. See you later.